Thanksgiving continues. I'm not talking about the leftovers in the refrigerator or that which we might have for lunch today, although it was good food and will remain such until it's gone. I'm talking about the football games, as there'll probably be one on today. But Thanksgiving continues in that we have those here with us who have not been with us before, and some who have visited with us before, and we're glad to see them again. And all of you know, please, that you are our honored guest, and we want to see you here regularly. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning on something that exists around all of us. It is the truth. It may surprise you, but there are many famous quotations dealing with truth. I pulled up on the computer quotations about truth and got tired of reading. There are that many. But perhaps the most famous of these quotes comes from the originator of truth, and therefore is found in the Bible. The word of the originator of not only truth, but also the creator of all things. The passage which provides the title of the sermon and serves as our text this morning is John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. We know that Jesus often had conversations with folks. Some of those believed on him, some of those did not. And to each he provided information that would make them prepare them for that which was to come, which was the kingdom, which would be presented following the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Our passage reads, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now it stands to reason from this particular passage, and if we just looked at just this passage, that within it we find what truth is. He specifically said, "If ye continue in my word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, if you continue in his word and do those things that are found therein, yes, you are truly disciples of the Lord. But notice what he pointed out. Ye shall know the truth, and what the truth will do for you, it will provide for you freedom. It will make you free. As we contemplate truth this morning, some might think that it's a very narrow subject. Indeed, it is not. But I don't want to burden you with everything that truth can do and all of the things from which truth can make you free. But I want to point out a few. One thing that the Bible teaches us is that the truth shall make you free from ignorance. Now, no one likes to be thought of as ignorant. No one likes to be called ignorant. But ignorance is simply a lack of knowledge or a lack of information. It could be that you could very well take in that information, retain that information, act upon that information, but until you receive it, you're ignorant of it. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, we'll see a situation in which this occurred. When Paul, who himself was an Israelite, Paul was born of those descendants of Abraham, and therefore he wanted to see Israel find favor with God. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." It stands to reason that those who were his fleshly brethren, he desired that they hear the truth, that they believe the truth, that they obey the truth. Those of us today, as we contemplate our families, some of whom we have spent some time with over the holidays, or perhaps some with whom we will spend the next holiday with, we think of them, and we have the same desire that the Apostle Paul had for Israel. It is our prayer, it is our desire that they might be saved. But until they accept and obey the truth, such will not be the case. He said in verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." And you know that's important. It is absolutely important to have a zeal of God. But notice that which was lacking among these brethren. He says, but not according to knowledge. They were ignorant of how they should properly serve God and do His will. The Apostle Paul, when he was known as Saul, was also for a time in ignorance as to how he was to properly serve God. They did so not according to knowledge. Verse 3 tells us how they are acting and reacting. It says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, it's often commented about folks who believe that they're right. Folks who are sincere in what they believe. And yes, it is good to be sincere in what you believe. But if you believe something that is wrong and you sincerely believe that which is wrong, you are sincerely wrong. And therefore, ignorant. And when that happens, being ignorant of God's righteousness, you set about to establish your own righteousness. In other words, you set your own standards. In talking to people sometimes, you get that from them. But you and I operate upon different standards. Well, the fact of the matter is, there is one standard with which we will all be judged. And we must operate upon that standard. It tells us then, what is the result of this in the latter part of verse 3? Those who are ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And of course, the righteousness of God is what we're speaking about today. It is truth. And it is that which will make you free. In Acts chapter 17, and verse 30, we'll see that there was a time when God permitted ignorance. A time when He allowed ignorance. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. What ignorance? Or what was God allowing people to do? Well, He permitted them, if they so desired, to be ignorant of God and His requirements for mankind. But the latter part of that verse tells us, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, to turn away from sin, to turn toward God, to live according to the truth which God has placed for us in His Word, so that we might be pleasing to Him, so that we might faithfully serve Him, so that we might be favorable in His sight. And of course, if we follow His Word and we are not ignorant of His Word and we do repent and we obey, then we will be His children and His faithful children. Some might say, well, you know, I guess I've not learned enough. I've not heard enough. Well, Romans chapter 1 verse 20 tells us that they are without excuse. There is no excuse for ignorance. In Psalms 119, the psalmist, as directed by the Spirit, gives us information so whereby we might know how not to be ignorant, so that we might know how this truth can keep us free or make us free from ignorance. He says there in Psalms 119, 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. I don't know how many times in talking to people, they say, well, you know, I read the Bible, but I can't understand it. It's like, it just doesn't make sense. Well, where are you reading? Well, I'll just open the Bible every day. And I'll read for 10 minutes. Well, good for you, but what system of study? Well, just wherever I open the Bible. And you try to take a piece from the Old Testament, a piece from the New Testament, and then the following day a piece from the Old Testament and try to blend it together to see God's plan. It will take you many years to do so. And the truth is, you will get discouraged and you'll stop reading. He says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, listen, because of thy precepts, therefore I hate every false way. In other words, because of the precepts, you get understanding, you know what the truth is, you're not ignorant of that truth, you have understanding, and you hate every false way. The world is full of those who are walking in the false way. And we are never to hate the people that are walking in the false way. We can hate the false way, but not the people, because the people have a soul. He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We ought to understand that, how that we know that as we're walking along in the dark, it's easy to stumble. It's easy to fall. And as we do these things, when we have that lamp, when we have a light for our path, we can walk. We have understanding of the way in which we are walking. We do not have to be ignorant. In Psalms 19, verses 7 and 8, again we see the psalmist as also directed by the Spirit, telling us about the law of the Lord and what it will do for us. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." There are many people that go about talking about their conversion. And when you ask them where they find in the Bible that which they did for their conversion, they can't tell you, nor can they show you. They can say, "Well, I just came to an understanding. I felt it in my heart. I knew then that I was saved." That's not what the Bible teaches. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." He goes on to say in verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right." I used to tell people, you can never go wrong by doing right. And when you're following the word of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, you'll find that they are right. And it rejoices the heart. He goes on to say, "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." You want to be free from ignorance? Start with the Word of God. Rightly divide that Word of God. Properly apply that Word of God, and you will be enlightened. You will see the truth. And as Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free from the old law. You know, there were those in the early part of the New Testament times that had difficulty with this. Perhaps some of them have been raised under that law. And it's hard. Having come out of denominationalism, I know how it is when you've been taught something all your life, and then someone presents you with the truth. And the truth is that denominationalism has some of the truth in it. Not everything taught by denominational people is wrong. But not everything taught by denominational people is right. And so when you are confronted with this and you are presented with the truth, it's hard to swallow. How can I have been so wrong for so long? And then we look out at the world and we can see the masses of people that are involved in something that is not the truth. How can so many be wrong? We're not to follow a multitude to do evil. And just because the majority of the people think it's right doesn't make it true and doesn't make it right. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, we'll see the contrast between the old law and the new, and how that truth is that which will make us free from that old law. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And what he's talking about is the new law in the first part of the verse and the old law in the last part of the verse. And we know this because under the old law, there was no salvation for mankind. The sacrifice had not been made. The price had not been paid. Jesus Christ had not died on Calvary's cross, nor was his blood available to cleanse the soul of man who would obey according to the truth. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we'll see the Apostle Paul again, as guided by the Spirit, writing to the Galatians churches. He warns them not to become entangled again in a yoke of bondage. He first tells them, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Remember what Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These people took the truth which Christ brought and offered. And they applied it. And they obeyed it. And as they obeyed it, they became free. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty. They were free. And they no longer had to worry about that. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And some might point out that, you know, the Galatians were not Jews. Therefore, they were never under the old law. But they were under the bondage of sin. And they could not go back to that. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. There were those going about and they were saying, wait a minute, God's law says that in order to be a child of God, the males have to be circumcised. And some of the Gentiles were saying, well, if that's the case, then we'll go ahead and do it. Understand, as it is pointed out, that if they do one point of the law, they're required to follow all of the law. And if you go back to the law, you cannot be free because it is the law of sin and death. In verse 4, it tells us the circumstances of those who participate in those kind of things. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Look at this. Ye are fallen from grace. Those who had at one time embraced the truth that Jesus Christ had brought to us. The truth that will make us free. The truth that can make us free from ignorance. The truth that will separate us from the old law. And then they let go of that. And they go back into bondage, whether it be sin or that of the old law. And they are fallen from grace. However, that needn't always be the case. James chapter 1, verse 25 tells us that we can continue therein. But whoso, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do we want to be blessed by God because of our service to God? What must we do? Look into that perfect law of liberty. Forget those things which are behind. Press toward the mark, the prize that God has provided for us. If indeed we, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, we can be blessed. Thirdly, the truth shall make you free from sin. We just looked at the old law and how that the truth can make you free from the old law. And yes, the old law had its place and its purpose. It was beneficial because it brought to us Christ, who brought to us salvation through his blood on Calvary's cross. But that doesn't mean that sin stopped and stopped right there. You know, there are those that try to put forth the idea that just because Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross, then all of humanity is going to be saved. Well, let me ask you, friends, if that's the case, why is there a hell? Would be no need. Why do we have the Bible? Because Jesus Christ came. He died on Calvary's cross. His blood is there, available. That Bible is the truth. And it tells us how we can be made free from sin. In James chapter 2 and verse 12, again we see an admonition from James in this general epistle. As he was guided by the Spirit, he said, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. It's not just enough to talk it. You can't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk. He says, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Do you not know that all will be judged by the same truth? It's the same truth that Jesus spoke of in our text when he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it will make us free from sin. I like that it says the law of liberty. That doesn't mean freedom to go and do what we want to do. That doesn't mean the freedom to go and live like we want to live. That means freedom from sin. In Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul writing, he's writing to the Roman brethren, he's telling them, if indeed they want to be in bondage, just simply follow whichever and whoever they want to follow. He said to them, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey?" Notice this. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? Do we not know that if we continue in sin, that we are in bondage to sin? That we are bound by sin? That we have discarded the truth which will make us free from sin? He said, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you." Those people to whom the Apostle Paul was writing, as he was guided by the Spirit, had one time been the servants of sin, following old Satan in the world, doing the things of the world, not caring about truth, not following truth, not being obedient to the truth. But God be thanked that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. And people say, what is that form of doctrine? Well, it's very simple. It's very plain. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those who are children of God have participated in that. But notice, he says, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. They have it. We're aware of it. Then he says in verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." The truth made them free from sin because they obeyed the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, we'll see a passage, the first of which is not read very often, oftentimes at the invitation, and which also will be read today, is 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. But look at verse 19. "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." Well, how? Why are they servants of corruption? "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Whatever it is that trips us up, whatever it is that causes us to stumble, and whatever it is that causes us to fall, has a hold on us, a stronghold on us. And we're in bondage to it. Good old liberal application of the truth sometimes will break that bond. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." They began the journey. They laid hold on truth. They obeyed the truth. And then for whatever reason, abandoned the truth. The truth shall make you free from sin. Only if you stay in the truth. Only if you continue in that truth. And finally, the truth shall make you free from Satan and death. Again, we go back to our text. Or not our text, I'm sorry. We go back to John chapter 14, verse 6. Another saying of Jesus Christ. When Thomas asked the question, "We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Those who strive to come to the Father in some other way are serving themselves. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Do we want to come to the Father? We have to come through Christ. The only way to the Father is through Christ. That's the only way it works. And that's the truth that will make us free from Satan and from death. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and following, we see that Christ himself came and partook of humanity. He did so that he might destroy the power of Satan. You know, there's a question that was often asked, has been asked through the years, if a man dies, shall he live again? The answer was never available until Christ came. Till he died on Calvary's cross. Here we see in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," we know this. We're all in the flesh and blood as we are here on this earth. It says, "He also himself likewise took part of the same, Why did he do that? That through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. That's why that question could not be answered until one rose from the grave, triumphant in death. And also we see, not only is he able to destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, in verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We were subject to bondage until such time as we were made free from Satan and free from death by the blood of Jesus Christ and the truth that he's put forth in his word. How do we know about it? We know about this because 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10 also speaks of it. There are many different passages that tells about what Christ did and why he did it and the benefit that you and I can have. 2 Timothy 1:10 is one of these. But is now made manifest or made known by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what he has done, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's why Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, how we are to act regarding the truth. How we are to conduct ourselves. You know, years ago it used to be that people had the attitude that their mission was to go out and to tell people, turn or burn. They would slam the truth down your throat. They'd beat you up with the truth. And in so doing, they slammed more doors. In other words, people decided, you know what, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to receive that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26 tells us how we can help people to understand that they too need this truth, which Jesus said will make them free, and that they too can be free from Satan and from death. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Notice this. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. What do we mean by those who oppose themselves? Those who are against themselves. Those who are seeking for themselves, whether they know it or not, destruction. Not destruction of the body. All of our bodies are going to be destroyed. We're all going to die, unless we're alive when the Lord comes. But these bodies will suffer decay. They oppose themselves in that they are submitting themselves to Satan. If God peradventure will give them repentance, notice, to the acknowledging of the truth. They must acknowledge the truth, and that they shall recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, the devil is a very busy person. You know why? Because he's working against the truth. He's working against that which Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and it, that truth, shall make you free. It's important to realize and understand that God is willing to accept your repentance. God is willing to make you part of God's family, that you might also be with his children here on earth. That we as brethren together can serve him, do his will. But we have to acknowledge the truth. Those who are perhaps caught up in the snare of the devil, that they might recover themselves. And the devil cannot make you do anything that you yourself will not allow. The truth can make you free from ignorance. The truth shall make you free from the old law. The truth shall make you free from sin, and the truth shall make you free from Satan and from death. Now the question is, do you want to be free? Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What he did not say is that you have to want to be free. You have to want to apply the truth which Jesus Christ gave us, and that which he had sent through the Spirit to the apostles and those who were chosen to receive his revelation. What he has done is provided the plan of salvation in his word, and he's provided so that it's clear, crystal clear, that you too can. can be saved by that truth. What is that plan? Well, I guess the first thing you have to do is hear that plan. Hear the word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must also then believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not shall not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. We then must repent of sins. Jesus himself said while he was here on the earth, Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then we must confess Jesus as the Christ. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're not there yet. Unto salvation. Believing, repenting, confessing Jesus as the Christ is unto salvation. One can be saved by being baptized into Christ for the remission of sin. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You want to be made free? Apply the truth and do it today. But then once you have done that, we've got to be very careful. Notice it shall make you free. Something else I didn't put into the sermon outline. But the truth can also keep you free. But you have to apply it. Second Peter 2:20-21 tells us that we must remain faithful until death. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For if after they, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Perhaps you have at one time been made free of from sin by the truth. Perhaps for whatever reason you have allowed yourself to become entangled, to become ensnared, to become overcome. Know that God has provided the means whereby you might be made free again. Those who are children of God can be again reconciled to God through repentance and prayer. Acts 8:22. I want to ask you this morning, you want to be free? You can be. All you got to do is abide by the truth. I'm going to give you an opportunity as we open our songbooks. Sing an invitation song. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and while we sing.